hearing on the legislative agency Senate bill, House bill 5025. Go ahead. Good morning, Dave. Come on up.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, before Dave starts, I just have one comment to make. Was noted to me from the audience in an email that I had a case of dyslexia of the tongue yesterday, and that when I intended to say 2.4%, I said 4.2%.
Oh, I think someone did notice that.
And so all of our writings, and I think my initial testimony pointed out that the governor had cut the legislative budget 2.4%. But
well,
I checked the record, and I did, in fact, yesterday say 4.2.
Well, I'll tell you, we have the record corrected now, and at least we know people are watching. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, and that's the scary part, Madam Chair.
Yes, we often have a tendency to forget.
Madam Chair and member of the committee, I'm Dave Henderson, the legislative administrator.
Senior member.
I will pick up where I left off yesterday. We had just completed the auction packages that were in information systems. We've got five packages in facility services. You will find the first one behind the facility services tab on budget page 132. Package number 401 is a package for $375,000 to replace plumbing in the wings of the Capitol. When the wings were constructed, the pipe that was used was unfortunately inferior pipe, and we are experiencing an increasing number of pinhole leaks in the pipes, which create damage behind walls, which frequently we don't know about until something actually comes through a wall. So it's a similar situation to what they've encountered at Salem Hospital here in town, where they used comparable pipe and they've had to replace theirs as well. So we would propose to go in during this next interim and replace that pipe with new flexible plastic pipe. Package number 402 is the continuation of the Capitol duct cleaning. We had a package during the current biennium that we thought would cover cleaning all of the ducts in the Capitol. Unfortunately, when we actually got in to do the work, we found that the money was not adequate to do the entire building. We completed the old portion of the Capitol during the last interim, and the $270,000 in this package would pay for cleaning the ducts in the new part of the Capitol. Once we get the ducts clean, it is our intention to make it part of our ongoing maintenance of the Capitol so that we don't run into this, where we have to have such a major expenditure, and then we would pay for it out of our normal operating budget. Package number 403 is $50,000 to install a security gate at the two entrances to the underground parking in the Capitol. A number of concerns have been raised about security in the building, and the parking is probably the most exposed area, and this would pay for putting gates at both ends of the underground parking. Package number 404 is $110,000 to expand the Capitol gift shop and the area on the other side of the kiosk where our visitor services staff and volunteers are located. The gift shop, as it is configured right now, is not accessible to wheelchairs. This project would allow us to expand into the Galleria, taking up area that right now is not used very effectively. And it would also give space, and if you've gone by the kiosk when we've got tour groups there, and you'll see how cramped our visitor services staff are, you would understand why we need to expand on the other side of the kiosk as well.
Before you go on, Dave, do you have any kind of a, can you clarify a little bit more how you would expand? Where would the gift shop be expanded to?
We would, Madam Chair, the gift shop would be expanded to the south into the area. Right now, that is a hallway into the restrooms.
Yes.
And we would move the wall south, and then we would have a new entrance to the restrooms from the area that right now is where the art displays are. So you would have a straight-in approach to the restrooms rather than coming down and coming around. And then we would do the same thing on the other side to maintain the symmetrical look on both sides of the kiosk.
You know what a fanatic I am about spending money on remodeling dollars. We had a lot of problems with complaints about it not being wheelchair accessible.
Madam Chair, we do get complaints. I wouldn't say we get a lot of complaints, and if we had to prioritize our packages, this would clearly be at the bottom of the priority list.
Well, I don't want to not be have our facilities available to all people, but I do have a real problem with remodeling. Thank you. I wanted to clarify where we would remodel to, and sorry for the misunderstanding, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your sensitivity to this issue, and you've asked one of the questions that I wanted to ask. I noticed this is all shown as for professional services, so I assume that we are contracting this work out if this package is approved. But I would like to just ask about the actual Capital Gift Shop itself. Do we have some idea what difference this $110,000 investment would make in the way of not just accessibility to these who may be wheelchair bound, but as to what difference it will make in the actual operations and production of capital for the capital.
Madam Chair, Representative
Butler. For the capital. That's pretty good.
Sorry.
You're doing fine.
We did bring in some folks from the Atkinson Graduate School of Management at Willamette to look at, if we were to expand the space, what would this do to sales in the gift shop. It would there's little doubt that we would have increased sales because we would have more space to display things. I don't have an exact figure on what we would anticipate, but I could get that for you.
I would very much appreciate that so that we knew that we were getting the type of return on investment. Again, I want to be sensitive to the issue of accessibility, but I would like to know the ROI on that, please.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
By happenstance, in my rush to come to work today, I was thinking, I wish I had time to stop at a 7-Eleven and pick up some little thing that I need. I don't have time. I got to get there. I got to be there for Chair Clarno, you know.
And you're always on time as Chair Clarno appreciates that.
During the break, I wish I could run to the gift shop and buy the little thing that I need. And they don't have it because it's so small. And I'm thinking, here you have a population of a couple of hundred people, you know, and I bet you could sell a lot of stuff that convenience stores sell, and it would be a service to the staff here, not to the visitors so much, but to the staff. And I was thinking you probably wouldn't want to buy your milk and groceries here and carry them home. But, you know, there's a lot of little stuff that they don't have that would be convenient if you have the space to do it. That was
good point.
Question.
I want to. I forgot to mention this when you were on package number 402 on the desk. I would just say that remember, those of us who were here was at the 93 session when we had a little fire in the vents because of the dust in the duct. So if you need any help with that, I will tell you that I think it's important. I remember specifically that that was the same year we had the earthquake damage.
Yes, it was.
And I remember one member standing up on the floor and said, Mr. Speaker, to Larry Campbell, we've had fire, we've had earthquake, if there's any locusts, I'm out of here. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
And Madam Chair, we do have in the Facility Services Office a notebook that was compiled by the company that did that work, and it is very impressive to see what they went in and found, and then what the ducts looked like after they were cleaned. So we would be happy to share that with anyone who'd like to see how important it is to do that project.
Have anyone with further inquiry, we'll send them to you.
Just bring that notebook, if you would, please, on your next visit. That would be appropriate. Just take a look at it.
We'll have our resident accountant here check it out. Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
Package number 405 is a package, again, on photocopiers. That similar to the one we talked about earlier with committee services. We've gone from analog copiers to digital copiers. The cost on the digital copiers is higher, and the $22,000 in this package would pay for the additional cost on photocopiers.
Significant difference than the other set of copiers, the $100,000. So Is there a reason that just the number of copiers?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, it's the number and it's the volume of copies that are
okay.
run. Committee services run a tremendous volume of copies,
right.
particularly during the session. And then the final option package is behind the employee services tab on budget page 162. This package is for $33,000 to pay for recruiting advertising that is run in local newspapers such as the Statesman Journal, the Oregonian, and the Register Guard. During the last biennium, we spent about $80,000 on recruiting, and we only had $47,000 budgeted for that. Our options are to absorb that out of other areas of our budget, or to reduce the size of our ads, or the frequency of our ads, or the number of newspapers we advertise in. And as newspaper advertising is the main source of applicants, we think that it's important to continue to advertise as broadly as possible, and would ask for $33,000 to pay that additional cost.
Are you advertising on the web, Dave? Or?
Madam Chair, yes. We advertise on the web with the National Conference of State Legislatures in several local newspapers, and if the recruitment warrants it, we go to newspapers out of state in places such as Sacramento, Anchorage, Olympia, Seattle, and Boise, because on certain positions we feel that we need to attract a wider pool of applicants.
Any other questions? Representative Butler.
Madam Chair, I just noticed that we're looking at 350 new recruitments each session. These must be for pretty specialized kinds of positions and for a fairly short term. Is that what we're looking at, Dave?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, some are for specific short-term positions. Some are for continuing positions. For instance, in the last couple of years, we've recruited to hire legislative counsel and legislative revenue officer, and on those recruitments, we advertised in national publications as well as local publications. So they range from session recruitments to continuing high-level recruitments as well.
Follow up. And by expanding this recruitment from the primary regional and the increased rates, this is the expansion, or is this just a function of the increased rates, Dave?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, this is a reflection of the increased rates and would not reflect any expansion of the recruitment. It would merely allow us to continue to recruit as we have.
We've got to expend a lot of money to have an increase of $33,000
in rates. Madam Chair, Representative Butler, as an example, the Statesman Journal rates in the last couple of years have gone up 50%.
Okay, Dave, continue.
That concludes the list of option packages in the Legislative Administration budget. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions? I have just an operation question, or how things work in the Capitol. Say in the Senate President's, or the Senate office, like Secretary of Senate office. Do you approve purchases of, like, computers and things like that, or is that done through the Senate?
Madam Chair, that would be done strictly through the offices involved. We have no authority to approve, but we do provide the service of working with them and actually acquiring the equipment for them, but they have the sole authority to approve those purchases.
Okay. I woke up last night and I tried to think if there's anything I need to ask you. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to talk to you about. In my absence, while I've been gone gallivanting around out of this process, there's been quite a bit of remodeling, and as I mentioned earlier, how does that remodeling work? Is that the request of the various legislative offices, or?
Madam Chair, those are always done at the request of the offices, and they're funded out of the budget of that office or out of the budget of the assembly as approved by the presiding officers.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions of Dave this morning?
Well, it's an interesting budget, Madam Chair. It's sort of a microcosm of the whole process because we have here a vast array of projects, each of which have significant merit. there are so many of them. It's just like the big budget, isn't it? There's lots of budgets, all of which have merit. There's just so many of them.
Chair, I think that legislative administration being sort of obviously the administrative core, most of the other legislative agencies don't duplicate much of what they do. We use them even though we are separate agencies, and so it's inevitable that since we are housed here and pay our rent to them and so forth, they end up with most of the policy packages. And so the other agencies only have a policy package, and they have something that's very discreet only to their function. And since we don't have anybody else, I presume that Dave would be the person who would, or Sandra or somebody, would talk about the Legislative Assembly's budget.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the Legislative Assembly budget funds the operations for the 90 members, for the two presiding officers' offices, for the four caucus offices, and for the desk operations, which is the Secretary of the Senate and the Chief Clerk of the House. This budget is very simple. It is a current service level budget with only one option package that we would ask you to consider. And I'm going to ask Sandra where we would find that.
There's two, one under the Senate tab and one under the House.
Okay. Under the Senate interim tab on budget page number 49, is package number 100. And under the House interim tab, budget page 77, is package number 200. These packages would fund replacement personal computers for the members. Members were first allowed in 1997 to purchase PCs out of their service and supply funds. And then for the 1999 section, the Assembly provided one PC to each legislator. Those PCs, by the time the 2003 session arrives, will be more than 4 years old, and it will be time to replace those. These two packages would fund one new computer for each legislator. The cost for the Senate is $197,000, and the cost for the House is $395,000. And that, unless if you would like more detailed information about the actual budget, would complete my presentation on the Assembly budget.
Thank you, Dave. And I think we discussed, I think we had a question the other day about where these computers go. I remember when we first moved in here, I saw a couple of vans going out with computers and stuff. And you mentioned that you allocate them to schools or whatever. How do you do that? Requests that come into us, or? How do you determine where they go?
Madam Chair, surplus property for the state is covered by certain statutes, and we do have to make it available through the Department of Administrative Services first. But if there is no demand there, we can take those computers and give them to schools, and it is based on a request from schools.
Do you ever have any requests from Eastern Oregon? Because I know so many schools that don't have any computers in them.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to check on that. I don't
think
really
so. I just wonder if maybe sometimes they've undoubtedly got to come and pick them up, which would make sense. Okay, if you would check and see if there's any requests, I would assume that they know that there should request, but we need to check into that.
Madam Chair, it seems like an ad in Eastern Oregon newspapers would be in demand and have your office.
Thank you. Good comment and suggestion. Representative Johnson.
As much as it pains me to ask, Columbia and Clatsop County, too?
Go ahead.
That doesn't bother me a bit because I know you also support the Eastern Oregon.
Conway, I won't add Portland.
Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, thank you very much.
Further questions? Okay. Next, we'll have Robin come up. Oh, she's going to get Robin. Okay. Call on Robin.
Hi, I'm here.
until Robin is ready to go, I will point out that we replaced some light bulbs in the phone booth in the Senate chamber.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We obviously had a lack of communication to your office as a couple of senators here who have been memorizing the dial pad so we can dial in the dark. Who should we have complained to about that?
Facility services.
No.
Okay.
Just
happy to.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I complained to the state services.
Yeah, we can.
To make it easy, call my office and we'll get the right people there.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I didn't want to appear to be using too much electricity. On the other hand, dialing in the dark is not a lot of fun.
Dialing in the dark.
There was only one of them. One of them has a lighted keypad.
Yeah,
and the phone line cord is long enough that you can stretch it into the chamber.
You might want to check that phone cord. It's getting pretty stretched. Most of us had to walk out in there.
Yeah, that was probably the best investment a light bulb you ever made.
But I've got to tell you, I did get the pad memorized.
Sure. Yeah, I did too. Dark. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. You start counting and you can get your number most of the time.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
And we need to close the public hearing on House Bill 1525 and open a work session on Senate Bill 63.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, when you had this bill in front of you before, there was discussion about how to deal with some level of certainty that the legislature would become involved if there were disasters that required statewide response. And so you instructed some of the members of this committee to form a subcommittee of the subcommittee to come up with a budget note. They have done so, that budget note is in front of you. I provided it to you as amended by the co-chairs, so you could see what had been done with that. I believe that the bill is ready to be worked with my recommendations, and if you are so willing, I'll just walk through what they are.
Go ahead.
First of all, you have attached to this A4 amendments that delete the $1 general fund appropriation language that creates a disaster relief fund, and language related to legislative declarations on statewide disaster relief. With that, the bill authorizes the Economic and Community Development Department to use the Special Public Works Fund to provide up to $2.5 million a biennium in loans or grants to municipalities to cover local matching fund requirements for disaster relief. Representative Johnson, would you like to give them the substance of the budget? The budget note.
With the chair's permission, I'd be happy to. I'm an enthusiastic supporter of this bill and have spent some time working on it.
Yes, you have.
I think that the principal motivation behind this bill was to make sure that Oregon did not miss out on any federal funds that would come in response to a disaster. Initially, the counties had hoped that there would be a fund with only a dollar in it in order to create the mechanism to receive aid. The co-chairs didn't want to go that direction. The budget note that you see is a compromise that I think represents agreement between the counties, the department, and the co-chairs. And I enthusiastically commend it to you. I think this solves a long-standing problem that the counties have had. It particularly resonates in Senator Duke's district and mine, where in the floods we had cities that were underwater, isolated, no hope of assistance, and this appears to be the vehicle to trigger that federal money coming into the state in response to a natural disaster. So I enthusiastically request your support.
Thank you, Representative Johnson, and I certainly appreciate all the work. I know you've had several rewrites, and I've been very diligent about taking it to committee members to have their input and concurrence, so I appreciate all your efforts.
Can I ask you a question of staff? On page 2, sub 3, says the Office of Emergency Management, the Economic and Community Development Department, the Association of Oregon Counties, and the League of Oregon Cities shall jointly establish guidelines for the use and expenditure of monies in the fund. And then it says,
The Office of Emergency Manage, oh, wait a minute, maybe that was okay, shall consult with the Special Districts Association of Oregon and the Oregon Ports Group in the development of guidelines for the, I was just thinking we had two separate groups who were writing up guidelines.
Madam Chair and Senator Dukes, that section has been deleted, too, in the A4 amendment.
Oh, okay, well, I guess I don't have to worry about that one.
On the back of this, I think it is that there's the amendment.
Madam Chair, I too am supportive of this, but I wonder, are we shorting ourselves a little bit in that we're limiting this consultation to governmental agencies? There are several private, charitable, and philanthropic organizations that operate in the state of Oregon that are specifically for disaster relief. They stockpile blankets, drinking water, food, clothing, and so on. And I'm wondering why we would not avail ourselves of their expertise, at least in consultation, when we're developing needs. I see that this is specifically to direct federal money to governmental agencies.
Representative Johnson, have you? The latter part of that is the motivation behind this bill, is the federal conduit. I too share your enthusiasm for the good work that's done by a number of those private not-for-profits. I think in this particular instance, though, we're motivated by finding the trigger mechanism that brings the federal disaster money in. I'm sure that Mr. Sock would agree that counties in some cases rely heavily on those private not-for-profits and that there would be a willingness to be consultative. But I'd like to see the bill go forward, given the lateness of the session, and just rely on Mr. Schlack's good word that there would be an opportunity to consult with those private relief responders.
Would you mind coming up and putting your name on the record so we have a legislative record that appropriate record?
That would be fine. And if I could have a letter from you to my office saying that you would be open to consulting with those agencies, I'll forward a copy of it to several of the agencies that I'm familiar with so that they can contact you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Carnell, members of the committee. My name is Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. And to respond to Representative Hayden's question, certainly we would consult with all the interested parties with respect to disaster relief and how to best facilitate that, and we will provide you a letter to that effect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Any further discussion?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Representative Johnson, since you were actively involved in this budget note, would you like to, we are in work session, and if you would like to make a motion.
Madam Chair, in coordination with the LFO recommendation, I would move the dash force.
We've heard the motion before us. Any discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Dukes.
Why isn't the budget note a part of the bill?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, there will be no budget report with this bill because the actions that we have taken in the dash 4 amendments eliminate the fiscal impact. So the budget note will be placed in the Economic and Community Development Department's budget bill.
Well, I just wondered why we didn't make it a part of this bill. Actually amended into the bill. Is that a bad thing?
You know, I have no idea whether it's a bad thing or a good thing. Robin, we're looking to you.
Representative Johnson was going to respond.
Well, I was going to respond just by giving you the unfolding of the history. When I approached the co-chairs about the possibility of both keeping the fund and the dollar in as a placeholder to create the trigger mechanism, there was some concern that that would be an invitation for a request for additional money in future sessions. This seemed to be the best compromise given the lateness of the session to accomplish what we needed to get accomplished. OEDD was amenable, the counties were amenable, and we were eager to leave this session with something. Is this perfection? No. But it accomplishes everything that we need to accomplish in order to trigger the infusion of federal money in the time of a disaster. This is a practical response, not a perfect response.
And I would also add, Madam Chair, I don't believe that the budget note is necessary in any way to ensure that this happens, because the amendments, the bill itself makes those funds available should there be a disaster. So therefore, that would trigger a response. This is simply making it very clear what the expectation of the legislature is with regard to this, but in no way is necessary to have this response occur. That is, you don't need statutory language to tell them to do what the bill already tells them to do.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Perhaps, and I'm not convinced yet that it's redundant, but budget notes do not have the impact of law. And assuming that we're fortunate and the disaster doesn't happen for several more years, the budget note will be long gone because it's in the next finance budget. And,
I see where you're going.
What I'm
going
to say is that it's who you know in the agency, in this particular agency, as to whether or not you get anything out of it. So I'll probably eat those words at some point along the line, but that's my perspective. And so trusting that it will happen just because we want it to happen and not have it in statute gives me some pause.
I understand what you're saying, Senator Dukes, and I think I've noticed this session because before we weren't quite dealing with the full impacts of term limits as we are now. And when a person is faced with not coming back, you wonder. But I have a feeling that Representative Johnson may just have this incorporated somehow in language in a bill next year.
Madam Chair, you're prescient.
No, wait a minute now, just a moment. I've got to clarify. We don't use those words on the farm.
Please don't tell us.
You have described precisely the course of action that I intend to pursue.
I understand that. Okay. Does that help? Does that help, Senator?
Oh, it does, but I'm one of those who believes that a bird in the hand is worth an abortion. This one's in the hand, so that. Sure.
But it's in the hands of Representative Johnson. Any further discussion? Any objection?
No.
So much.
I need carriers.
Carriers. Representative Johnson.
Full bill.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to move the full bill.
Yeah, we just
that was
right.
Just
that, was,
I'm
that
sorry.
Was simply the amendment.
Representative Johnson.
I would move that we move the amended bill SB 63 to full Ways and Means. With a due pass.
I've heard the motion before us. Any further discussion?
Actually, I also probably need to add that it be included in the Oregon Economic and Community Development budget as well. Do I know, Robin?
That probably wouldn't hurt. I will be keeping track of it, but it doesn't hurt to just memorialize that it is the intent of the committee to have this budget note be placed at Senate Bill 5510.
Okay. And did you move it as amended?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We've heard the motion before us. Any further discussion? Any objection? If not, so moved. And Representative Johnson, would you carry that in the full and on the House?
I'd be pleased to.
And Senator Dukes, would you like to carry the Senate? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Robin, do we have anything further to come before us?
I do not believe so, unless you have anything remaining under 5025.
Anybody else have anything that under 5025 that they wanted to provide to the committee? If not, I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial Day, safe Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday, and thank you for your hard work. Enjoy your free time. Thank you. Sure.